welcome back into Monday Mornings KXLO Live. And on the phone lines with me, I have Kimmerer Lamote. Good morning.
Good morning, Phyllis.
And where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from a tiny little town in upstate New York called Hebron, which is right on the Vermont border, about an hour northeast of Albany.
And it's a beautiful, I went to your website before I came up, came on live, and it's a beautiful area.
Thank you very much. Well, Lewiston seems to be beautiful, too.
Well, it is. You know, we're kind of proud of our hometown here. It's a small community, and we know our neighbors, and it's great. Now, you've written a book, What a Body Knows, Finding Wisdom in Desire. What made you want to write a book like this?
Yes. Well, I was in the academic world for a long time, studying philosophy and theology in the modern world. And I began to realize that the ideas that I was studying about our attitudes towards the body, in particular, and towards dance, I'm a dancer, and so this was very important to me, were relevant in our larger cultural world. So I wanted to write a book that actually people might actually read and that dealt with sort of what I see as almost a view of our bodies that is so common sense and is so educated into us that we don't even realize it. And I wanted to call attention to the fact that our desires, even though we might learn to feel suspicious of them and to doubt them and to not be sure what to do with them, that they actually have a kind of wisdom that can guide us in our lives.
You know, and I think as I was previewing this, I think that's one of the things that I liked. Instead of trying to ignore our desires or tell ourselves that that's wrong, you're more inclined, you're trying to tell us that we shouldn't ignore them, we should be able to learn from them, and by doing that, we can modify our behaviors.
Yes. Yes, I think this is true. I mean, when I think of desire, I think of a yearning that we have. And it's a yearning for something that we think is going to give us a pleasure that we want, a satisfaction that we're seeking. And if we think about desire in that way, it's very dynamic. They evolve. They are themselves a movement inside of us. And I think if we learn to be with them and be present to them, that they do evolve in ways that align our pleasure, our health, and our well-being. And that is what I consider to be their wisdom. It's not something that's just it's necessarily present in every desire, in all desires, but it's how our desires grow if we attune to them. They become more and more capable of guiding us to align our pleasure, our health, and our well-being.
Now, I as I was thinking about this earlier, I thought, okay, let's just take food.
Sure.
I want that piece of lemon meringue pie.
Right.
But it's not going to be, it's not really good for me. So what can I learn from that?
Right. Well, I think part of what happens is that we have sort of learned to separate ourselves from what our bodies know about what's going to give us the pleasure that we're seeking. So, for example, in the case of food, we start to think that it's actually that particular piece of lemon meringue pie that's going to make us happy. But if you start to think about it, you can realize that there are times, actually, when that lemon meringue pie is not going to taste so good. You might feel sick in one day, and you just don't feel like pie. Or you might be really full, and that pie is just not going to taste so good if you're so full. And so you start to realize that actually what you want is not the food itself, but that experience of nourishing yourself, that experience of pleasure that comes when you are nourishing yourself with food. And so I try to sort of open up different ways of thinking about that pull towards a particular food that might appear, you know, in front of you or on an advertisement as something inside of yourself telling you that at that moment you really want this experience of being nourished. And then that can free you up to figure out, okay, what is really going to nourish me right now? Is it that pie or not?
Oh, I like that thought. And I could possibly replace that desire for that piece of pie with something else that would be more meeting my needs.
Right. Right. And that's the other piece of it, which you just put your finger on so well. It's developing a real sensory awareness of what food does when it gets inside of us. Because we're so trained in our cultures to identify ourselves with our minds, we actually lose sense of our body and what's happening when we eat food. So, you know, we'll go through a whole meal and not even be aware of what we've eaten. Or we'll eat even when we're feeling full and it's not comfortable just because we think we want it. And so part of what the practice is of learning to find the wisdom in your desire is becoming more and more aware of what I call the arc of our pleasure. That there's a pleasure in wanting the food, there's a pleasure in eating the food, and then there's a pleasure in stopping when you've had enough. And so if we can get in touch with that arc of our pleasure and follow the arc of our pleasure to that sense of enough, then we will both have all the pleasure we're looking for, and it will line up with what is healthy and good for us.
So maybe instead of eating a whole piece of lemon meringue pie, I might just eat a couple of bites and I would be satisfied.
Exactly. That's right.
Wow. Now that sounds so easy.
Right. And it's not that easy, but it's better than some of the alternatives.
Well, you're right about that. Well, one other thing I like about, and you were comparing, and I thought about this, inhaling and exhaling, we do that. We do that without thought.
Yeah.
And you talked about if we started thinking about inhaling and exhaling, how our feelings towards that or our impressions towards that changes. And so I tried it, and that's true. When I think about it, I'm actually experiencing my breathing.
Yes. I that's wonderful to hear. Thank you. I feel like the breath is a great way that we have for developing a sensory awareness of our bodies that we don't have. I think so often in culture, I've been talking about how we're trained to identify ourselves as with our minds. You know, we learn to sort of, in our educational systems, we learn to sit still so that we can process words. And that's a really important skill, but we end up learning to ignore our bodily sensations in order to do what we feel like is going to be important. And it's a powerful movement to make, but there's another move to make where we allow ourselves to go down into our bodies and to open up our sensations. And following the breath becomes a really powerful way of doing that and of realizing that our bodies are this movement, this process is constantly moving. They're not just objects. They're not just vessels. They're actually us, right? They're enabling us to think and to feel and to act in every moment. And so it gives us a whole different experience of ourselves.
Well, I like that. And the breath thing was very easy to do.
Yes.
To just bring some awareness to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
I find that, I mean, in the book I introduce what I call a cycle of breath. Which you're referring to, which it just becomes a very sort of short kind of way of guiding yourself or sort of opening up a space for yourself where you can allow yourself to feel your desires. I mean, that's the other thing about desires. You were mentioning that it's not very, that it sounds so easy. And yes, and part of the difficulty is that oftentimes feeling our desires means feeling something that's not so comfortable. We have to feel a frustration, or we have to feel an irritation or a disappointment, and that's how our desire is expressing itself in us. But when we sort of use our breathing to open up a space inside of ourselves, we can then sort of hold on to that, those feelings of discomfort for just a moment and just sit with them and realize they're okay. They're going to teach me something, and I can learn to listen to it, and that's going to help me in my life.
Well, that's an incredible philosophy. Now, when you had this book in mind and you made a major move in your life.
Yes,
how did that influence this book?
Yes. Well, one of the desires that I talk about in the book is what I call our desire for spirit, which is that desire for a sense of vitality and direction and belonging that gets us out of bed in the morning and lets us know that our lives are worth living. And as I was thinking about this book, part of my own desire for spirit began to sort of rear its head and say to me, you can't write this book unless you're actually doing it. And that desire for me was a desire that my husband and I have had for years, to move out of the city, buy some land in the country, and create a center where we could do our work. So what ended up happening is that this my own following of my desire for spirit ended up enabling and supporting the writing of the book. So they happened together.
So you paid attention to what your body was telling you.
Yes. Yes. And it was telling me, I ended up spending 2 weeks flat on my back on my living room floor having pulled a muscle, and that was sort of the context in which my body started talking to me about what it needed.
It does tend to get our attention sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It'll start gently, start with little communications, and then the communications, if we just keep ignoring them, which of course we're so good at doing, we're so good at ignoring them and, you know, distracting ourselves and numbing them in different kinds of ways. But if we do, they just keep growing bigger and bigger and bigger until finally they get our attention.
And you spend 2 weeks on your floor.
Right.
Now, where could my listeners get a copy of your book, What a Body Knows?
Yes, What a Body Knows is available through all online distributors. They can go to Amazon.com and they can search for What a Body Knows, or for my last name, Lamothe, L-A-M-O-T-H-E. They can go to Barnes & Noble or BookSense or any of those online vendors. And you can also go to your local bookstores. It should be in both the large bookstores, and independent bookstores will be able to order it easily.
And you also have the website, which I alluded to earlier. And what is your website?
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. The website is called Vital Arts Media. So it's www.vital, V-I-T-A-L, arts, A-R-T-S, media, M-E-D-I-A.com. Vital Arts Media is the name of our center here in Hebron, New York, and that's all one word. And if you click on that and go to the website, it'll also lead you to the different outlets that you can go to buy this book.
All right. Well, any last words that you have for my listeners today?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
Is there any last words you would like to share with my listeners about your book?
Well, I would just like to encourage everyone to pay attention to the movement of their bodies and to allow themselves to trust that and to learn to find the wisdom in it. I feel like it can really enrich our lives and gives us a perspective on contemporary culture and what we're doing that enables us to make good decisions.
All right. Well, Limerer, thank you for calling in and sharing about your wonderful book.
Thank you so much, Phyllis. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
All right. You have a great week.